Ash, do you want to get that done?
How was Hustle?
You did it last night.
It's good.
Yeah?
It's good,
it's a bit messy.
Yeah, a bit rough.
Oh, yeah?
Good. Yeah.
You stay out. What's
we were shot in it and that, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. Fucking hell, it was disgusting.
Was it on till late?
It was on till six, but we didn't stay there.
No, we left at like two, didn't we?
Are we in? Yeah. Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Nuke Jazz Podcast. I'm your host, Carl Thomas. Today I'm joined by Andy Porter.
Yo.
Ashley Murphy.
Hey.
Harry Mills.
What's going on?
Aaron Cara.
Hello.
Yes. Today we're just going to have a little chat. We've had a few events since the last podcast, so we're probably going to have a little recap. And then later on, we're going to have a little chat with Harry, talk about his artwork. And then I think we're going to be joined by Lucy.
Yeah.
Owner of the Herbarium, where we play often, and we're going to chat about our New Year's event.
It's like a play. We've got people coming in and out, haven't we?
Let's start with a bit of a recap of your event on. Oh no, should we talk about? Let's do it chronologically. Come in, Nap. You're all right. We're currently in the Herbarium, a working place, so people may come in and out.
Yeah, it is a play.
It is a play.
What were you going to go for then?
The last one, because we did the podcast before we played the last one here.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Oh yeah, because that was Harry's exhibition, wasn't it?
And that was messy.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
Should we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we can go for that.
It was good. What? You two played your set without even rehearsing.
We did, me and Ben Ross.
Yeah, that was, I'm trying to remember it all now because I was well messy.
Impromptu, back to back.
Yeah, so we weren't even set to play. And then we just
jumped on a little half nine warm up set.
Two decks, two DJs.
Yeah, how did you find it? You went on the new decks as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, nice. So you were having to literally beat match, weren't you?
Yeah. So two decks are like two sets, so we couldn't like
two laptops.
Yeah.
And all that, yeah.
Oh, I forgot you did it like that. Yeah. I thought you were just on the new Pioneer. It was funny.
No, it was good. Went well. It was fun.
Yeah, are you raging to get back now on the next event?
Yeah, I think we said me and Ben
only
DJ
together
now.
Yeah.
We've gone from like being so organised to the point where I think within a millimetre or whatnot, now you're just refusing to organise anything. Is that it?
Yeah. Bring a USB for like random tunes. I don't even know him, and then
yeah, just put them on.
Nice improv set.
Like a mystery shopper, you just turn up like masked, and then
it was class. That it was well busy as well with being the exhibition. Mm-hmm. It was class. For those who didn't come, we had two rooms set up. So we had the main like new jazz event going on near the bar, and then in the back studio room we had Harry's artwork up everywhere, and he had his exhibition going. Do you want to say anything? Right. Yeah, you can do.
He's got his notes, proper artist.
Yeah, he is.
No, it's just like I just like to doodle while I'm talking. I think that's what it is. It's a nervous thing.
Did you enjoy doing it?
Yeah, it's the first time I've exhibited in Lancaster, so I'm based in Morecambe, and that's where most of my work gets made. So the work that I'd showed for this, suppose it was a collaboration between New Jazz and myself. So I'd started doing the posters and the flyers and stuff for New Jazz, so obvious choice was to like show some of my work on one of the nights. So we had a completely separate room made up, the yoga studio, where I basically hung up paintings and drawings and invited people to come sit in the room and sort of, it was more like a chill out room, wasn't it?
Yeah, you had your music going on in here as well, didn't you? So it was like, and it was well busy in here. Everyone was on floor, just proper chilling. It was class.
Really nice ambience. You had like the incense burning
incense
all that as well.
Candle.
Yeah, it was a
nice little mood room.
Mood lighting. Yeah,
it's cool.
The vibes were strong.
Good vibrations.
Yeah.
After the heavy hitting of the bar, you just come in here for a chill out for half hour and get back in there.
Well, it kind of left me a bit inspired that in the future events, I think that opens us up our opportunity to like pay homage to the word jazz in our name, really. I could see like a bit of jazz going on in here whilst,
looking at
for maybe some like, when you were talking about the chill out mixes for the future events, I'm thinking this room could just have some, you know, new jazz in
it. Yeah,
it
could have,
get quite experimental with the music and song choices.
And just because people are not kind of actively maybe listening as much in here, I think you could probably slip in things that you normally get to. Because we're all secretly wanting to do that, aren't we? Like,
yeah, exactly.
There's so many songs we want to play that.
I came to a gig here like last night, and I feel like after I had the exhibition here, it sort of opened up this space for other people.
Yeah,
which is
definitely.
It's quite a nice feeling.
But we've been talking about planning the future events we've had in this room now, just purely off
it works
what
for
you
live
were doing
music as well.
Seeing how you transformed this room into something like
definitely.
They had a band in here last night, and I was just thinking the whole time that the walls just look so bare. We could have also put artwork up if you know.
Yeah.
Each time someone plays, you can hang some work up as well.
Yeah.
It becomes more audio visual. It's not all just about the music.
No.
I think that's what we're going to be doing on New Year's as well, isn't it? Like we're going to be using this room as an exhibition again, and putting artwork.
To do
everywhere.
A proper set in here one day and do lots of visuals and. Fill the walls full of animations, you know, because this room's such a white space.
Yeah,
that we can put a picture up of it as, can't we, at some point?
We're currently sat in the room we're talking about, by the way.
Yeah.
That's why we keep saying in here. Was I up next? I was up next. After Ben and Andy. Ben and Aaron, even.
Yeah.
I'm a bit hungover. We had an event last night. I don't think I ever do a podcast sort of sober anymore.
Whoa, drinking.
Drinking, I've been drinking.
Can't tell us I'm a ropey host.
He's promoting it.
Yeah. Promote sobriety, come on.
I know.
In a health place.
Yeah, and I did my set, but none of you saw it because you're all upstairs getting on dizzy. Weren't you? Yeah, I saw you.
Nobody watches anybody on the set. They just go outside or
that's so true.
How was your set? I'll take your word for it. I didn't really listen to it.
Because everyone's
No one's there. Yeah. I've seen everyone at the back playing Monopoly or something.
I work all month just like, oh, the boys will love this. And then it's just like, where are the boys? Come down half hour later, just absolutely full.
Oh,
yeah, it was class. No, it was good.
We should be recording all of our sets, shouldn't we? Like,
yeah, we
then
should.
Then we might realise that it's not as good.
Is there a way of doing that? That's really easy.
Yeah.
Just hit record on Serato.
Everyone should be doing that then.
No, right, yeah, we should.
Just to listen back and then realise all that work.
For me, it's remembering though, because we intended to record our one last night, and after we finished, we said we definitely should have done because in our minds it was a very good set.
Yeah, it killed it.
But
might not have
got off, and it was just awful, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
it was really as good as I thought it was.
And there's so much kind of nerves and tension when you're getting ready to go on anyway, like, remember. To hit that record button.
Yeah.
It's like the furthest thing on your mind.
Making sure it comes out of the speakers, the first thing, isn't it?
You're not bothered about recording at that point.
Yeah.
That's it.
I always get worried that it's going to overdo the CPU or something, and then, like, you know. Yeah.
Can you not do it off another external white device?
You could do. That's what we should be doing, like monitoring out of the desk into a laptop that's recording.
Sure, that's like technical, but you can do
that's
that.
Aaron's expertise.
So you could build an archive of the live stuff as well.
Be class when it's put up.
Not just the Mixcloud stuff.
Well, we've just gotten to Spotify.
That does seem like a lot, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
want people to come and listen to your DJ live, not listen to it at home.
Yeah, of course.
But it's good for yourself, like, for reference.
Mm. And it's always good to have stuff in the archive, because like you're saying, the uni want mixes for us to play.
Boiler room, I'm telling you.
Boiler room.
Yeah, well, the Mixcloud's filling up. We've got all the podcasts on there. And well, you put a new mix up the other day, didn't you, Ash?
Yeah.
Inspired by, like, recent
great
recent sets.
Oh, yeah,
my disco.
Go into that.
I just haven't done it in ages, and it's quite hard to. I think we're all quite precious on how perfect we think these things need to be. So it was more of a challenge to myself to go. I'm going
to
hit record and then just make this happen and try and get more into that culture of that. None of us are sitting around here and like confessing to be like a world superstar DJ that does perfect mixes or only uses really expensive equipment. We're like openly, you know, we're a group of mates who are making this happen, and I thought. Let's set a precedent of that. I'm so proud of it because I changed it mid-mix what I was going to do. I didn't have any other tunes in the middle of the mix, so I was setting up my subfolder whilst it was still recording. I'm thinking, is this going to break? I don't know.
That's brilliant.
So it was just exciting just to go, and it was the same with that tune I made, that Edith, just trying to raise the question of that we can all just do more if we're confident with it. And I've had all those collections of tunes that I felt like that was like I wanted to like benchmark my sound of it because it was more for me as well just to go if I could just send someone a nugget of what I sound like hopefully that mix will sound like it.
Yes.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I think you got there.
And I think we all need that, you know, just to go what sums you up in an hour. And hopefully, I think that does that
because I think we've all at this point did a like new jazz sound volume.
Yes.
Not me.
Yeah.
Numbers.
Yeah.
Harry.
Floor's
open,
man.
If you want to do
it. Really want to do it.
But then the ones that we've already done that was like coming on like a year ago now, and I think we've have you know kind of changed our styles a little bit or just got a little bit better at DJing. So it's good to kind of refresh yourself.
It is. Yeah.
Show what you're into. Now and you know kind of current music and
I think that you know I think I'm going to be looking at these things in 30 years and hitting play later on and going these are really important to us these you know
yeah.
which is like I could feel the passion from you two about last night and it does it is somewhat a bit magical, a really good mix. Like,
totally, man.
It's
hard to explain. Like you say, talk about like putting stuff into the archives, and that's like one of the wonders of the internet, right? Yeah. You can look back on it in 30 years and it crystallizes it at that moment in time. Yeah. And you can just look back and, oh, there's that mix from December. Oh, yeah, that's that night that we played.
And even these things were waffling on. Can you imagine showing
No.
That's going to be so funny.
Oh, what was Carl like? Oh, he was just hung over for most of the year.
Yeah. And that mix also came out of the night that me and Harry did on Monday, where we were playing it in Tipple as part of, what was the night called?
Derive.
Derive. Students started up a bit of a collective of artists, mainly, like looking at how they can show their new work in kind of new spaces.
Fine art students in Lancaster Uni.
Sorry, but did they come to the last New Jazz?
I think they've been
here
to a lot of
were
them.
Oh, right, because like I thought it was booked
three,
off that last
they've been
one,
to like though. Three or four.
Are they right?
Maybe even more. But there seems to be like a little crew of them that come, you know, like I noticed them.
Oh, right, yeah.
There's like 10 of them, maybe.
Nice.
So,
yeah,
they're nice, aren't they?
There was some really great work, wasn't
And they approached us. Yeah, we'd never been in Tipple. Well, I hadn't been in Tipple.
I've been in there. They do a good dark and stormy drink.
Dark
it's
and
great,
stormy,
dark, like
yeah.
grapefruit,
that
dark rum.
We're here
about drinks again.
About drinks again.
We do that review of the venues though, on TripAdvisor Hour.
Yeah. I think we're thinking of Courtyard.
They asked us to play first, so we were essentially warming up their night.
Oh, right.
Away. Like, we turned up and I think they had some. I don't think anyone was DJing when we were there.
No.
So we were first on. I played at 9 for an hour.
It was good, yeah.
Are they looking to make it?
Which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And then Ash took over.
It was really busy, wasn't it?
For the last hour. And then.
Sam O'Dowd.
Sam O'Dowd from I don't know where he was from.
Anything.
Yeah, he was playing a set after us, and I think we saw a video and he'd broken the speakers.
Oh, no.
This was by the time we'd left, so we were hoping to get back on the decks after, but yeah, we called
That's
it a night.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, we were happy to like represent New Jazz somewhere else and at another venue where we didn't know any of the punters, which was quite nice.
That's scary, wasn't it?
Broaden the horizons.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I feel like it's home turf here now.
Because I went to Tipple when I went in and I was like, oh, do you ever put nights on? And I tried getting us in there and they were just like, oh, I don't think we're going to do it. So it's nice to see that they're starting like branching out and there's a new venue.
And it was a Monday night as well.
Yeah, Monday.
So it was pretty cool for them. There was door staff and stuff, but it was quite busy.
Guy's really nice art that was like getting triggered by the sound as well. That was really cool. So his visuals were getting sort
of distorted.
I often find
that stuff gets overlooked at night.
It does.
It's just, this is a night, isn't it? If you're in there in the day, you're going to really like take it in. But at night, it's just background noise for me. I don't know.
Yeah, totally. You're more immersed in everything else that's going on.
I never really get to talk to anyone about it properly, like who's this by, and you know, like I said, I didn't even know that music was triggering until someone told me. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's a lot to take in, isn't it? When you're on a night, like you're immersed in so much, like kind of visuals and music. And
Do you think that
the space is great?
Do you think that?
No, I don't think it does. No.
It is a background thing when an artist. Yeah. So
if you're going to base it around music, it generally always is. I think.
Yeah. Definitely. Right. Yeah.
So is that derivatively looking to make it an ongoing thing then?
Yeah, one a term I think for the uni term.
Oh, cool.
I think it's trying to offer something specific for certain art students, really. Just look at what a night is. I think it's just constantly everyone's just. I think people are hungry for something a bit more. You know, not in Lancaster but all over. People want more out of nights out, and I think we're really interested in that, and we're combining it with art and just.
Yeah.
Asking the question of what we're doing when we're going out, you know, and when you see people sat in here on the floor and stuff and just on pillows and chatting
it's
away.
Cool. It's well nice to see, because it feels like we're filling the void that a lot of people have been wanting for a while of just this sort of nice night with good
middle
tunes.
Ground.
Yeah.
Going out and
staying
in.
Exactly, yeah.
That's nice, yeah.
Definitely.
Use that for the post.
Yeah.
middle ground.
Channeling that Higer.
Can we talk about last night then? Because we did.
Yeah, what was that? Hustle.
Yeah, that was for Juicebox. So this is like.
So hosted by Matty Bampton, was it? Yeah, I think he runs like.
Yeah, he was the guy who was on the SoundCloud mix that you sent over the other day.
Oh,
he was
the guy. Yeah.
He's a nice guy, Matty. Yeah.
Aaron got himself a little shout out on that.
It was so. It was so busy. It was crazy. They asked us to turn up at, what was it, 9:30, and then it opened at 10 or something. So the setup was so quick, and there was like four or five DJs just in the room one where we were.
So it's different rooms as well.
Yeah, there's two rooms, two massive speaker setups as well. I can't think of the name. It's got an actual name for the sound system they use. I think it's their own thing that they've built up.
Yeah, it's really impressive. Like the one in we were playing
Mungo High. No, not Mungo's Hyper. Something else, something like that. I know what it is though. the hi-fi.
Yeah,
hi-fi, system, yeah, system, yeah, something like that, yeah. Yeah, we were in like room 2.
No, Juice
Box, is that
right? Or is that
the name of it? Juice Box is the night, yeah. And then the other room where it was kind of like the headliners and all those guys were on, like the sound system there was huge.
It was crazy. Like, it was like a proper wall, wall of speakers, it was a proper wall. But it was classy. It was just, it was nice to see how other people set up events and like you were saying, the stresses they have to compare to our stresses.
It's just such a bigger operation, isn't it?
It was,
when you're booking DJs that are coming in from kind of all over and organising times like a room one and a room two split and different moods going on. But I feel like it went down really well, you know. We played like half 12 to half one. Got a
I thought our set went just down really well. It was really busy.
Me and Carl back to back for like a good hour and
off the cuff.
Off the cuff.
It was class. Nice.
We
were buzzed after playing.
And it's inspiring to think of, like it is a different culture, but there's no reason why we couldn't be shipping people in, you know what
exactly
I mean?
I'd
love to
think
of like what are the potential, the big headliners for New Jazz, do you know what I mean?
Where this is it, man, or just connecting other people, like we had that lad Ollie came down to the hall from once Leeds, from Leeds. He was just kind of a fan and played music that similar to the stuff that we're into, you know, like Todd, Thundercat, that kind of stuff.
No, he's doing that in Leeds, I think.
Has he started his own thing now?
That's
brilliant.
We played some Todd and Thundercat last night, didn't we?
Nice.
That mix of what that Thundercat tune. It was classic.
I remember doing the mix. I can't remember what tune it came out of.
I don't know, but it was
really good. The Frank Ocean there. Remix. That's great.
No, it was good. It was probably, it was busy. And then some guy jumped up halfway through our set and started beatboxing over the top. That was just, it was a bit random.
Sounds quite New Jazz though.
The entire set was off the cuff, wasn't it?
And then this guy just, and then he started, but then he was like, what are you called? I was like, New Jazz Collective. And then he was like, New Jazz Collective. Like I started emceeing.
Yes.
It was fully, it was good. But it was nice to, Gary, one of the promoters of it, we were in bands together in college.
I recognise him.
He jumped up halfway through the set and he was just like, I was on drums, you're on bass, now we're both DJs.
Is he DJing?
He puts on that night.
The Juice Box?
In Juice Box, and he was DJing in both of the rooms, I think. I think Gary was just jumping on any point.
Cause I saw him filling a little bit of time. Every so often
he
jumped
on. Just like if someone needed
a
hand, he'd just jump on and just have a quick mix. He's sick. Yeah, it was good. But I think it's like the offspring of what was Bass Race.
Yeah.
So they have a very big following, and it's a lot of people have seen from Beat Herder. A lot of people, you can see him in the crowd, and you're just like, oh, I've seen you at quite a lot of raves and
local festivals.
It's a big culture, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's huge for that kind of music as well. I feel like when, kind of more so from what we do, which as we've already said is like kind of very off the cuff, and you know, if you're into it, you're into it. But with you know, like kind of drum and bass and jungle and that kind of thing, I feel like when you're in that culture, like you're so devoted to it.
Yeah.
It gets a following just on the basis of the genre. And if you go to a certain night, like you go into all those nights in your hometown and you know all the people that go to those nights. I really respect that. Like it's not the kind of music I'm into or kind of play, but having that really kind of close-knit community.
Everyone was coming through the door and instantly find someone to give a hug and be like,
everyone knew each other.
And you just think that nightclub culture all gets thrown into one barrel, but it isn't, is it?
No.
There's genres, just like there's genres of rock, you know,
scenes and subcultures and like sub-subcultures
all that. And they know about those tunes, don't they? Like, to someone might feel like it's like,
as an outsider, it's really fascinating watching all that kind of stuff.
There's loads of people in fancy dress as well last night, weren't there? There was like, it had a real sort of festival tent vibe, but in a club.
I like that.
You know,
you forget that people do that all summer, but then they don't have it to do when
it's
still winter
time. Where'd you go and rave your ass off?
It was good. And I think we're going to do something again with them. They said, like, we'll get older.
Hopefully.
You know.
Off the back of that one, it's cool.
I bet you're glad it all didn't go a bit tits up, aren't you? Like,
I know, yeah. Well, when I turned up and I was just like, because obviously they had the CDJs and everything, this massive setup, and here we are with our Fisher-Price mixed track.
The Kinder toy.
Popping it on top of one of the dinner tables.
Just before going on, I was like, mate, can you put a cover over that deck so I can put my stuff on top?
On top of your headphones case.
that was it as well. Didn't have any headphones. Just had my iPhone headphones.
Well, we weren't using. We borrowed off somebody.
We ended up borrowing
Thank God! I don't want to see pictures of you two making them phone calls, them handsfree. The earbuds. Honestly, you two in wireless earbuds. You know.
Oh my God! Channel Trez in the Instagram.
Oh yeah, we put up a little. Well, I put up a little video of Carl when we were playing a Channel Trez tune controller or Channel Tray.
I was big in it.
I'm not too sure how you say it, so apologies if I got that wrong. But we put that up on the Instagram story and saw that he witnessed it as well.
Yeah, he's
pretty cool.
Looked at it.
Yeah. He's seen it.
Insight for him into new jazz.
The big mix.
Yeah. That's funny we say that, though, isn't it? He's just seen it.
That's
where we're at. That's now, isn't
like, oh my god, I've been noticed.
Yeah. We've made it.
Oh, well, that was funny. We were a few shots in celebrating that.
We were very excited when we saw that. Yeah. We just had a Bailey's, haven't we? So.
Yeah. That's the thing.
It's Christmas.
With Hustle as well. They've got like that. They just got a sheet and it was just like, you can't pay, you've got to spend a fiver to get pay on your card. So it was always just like, well, I'll get a drink and we'll have to get a shot.
I'm sure he said he was skin. He was going on all the way. I'm skin. But no, but it's going to be a shit night.
But
we should have like a running tally on these podcasts of whenever Carl brings up booze.
I know. It feels
must
like
be
that,
hitting five or six mentions so far.
It
like.
We do think you're cool, Carl. You don't have to prove it, man.
It doesn't stop through December. Festive.
What happened to mold season, Carl? Where's that going? I like mold, Carl.
It's in full effect. I'm telling you. But yeah, them shots are just crazy. Crazy.
We get it.
Well, I just won't mention it. Should we do a game or something?
Okay. Do
you
want to get into Secret Santa?
Yeah, let's do
let's
it.
Let's do it, yeah.
Right. Do you want to bring us back in?
Yes. Are we recording that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize. Sorry. Ash, you said you've got a game for us this time. What have you got?
Keep that in. I've got a lot on chest. Sorry.
Ash, you said you've got a game for us this time. What have you got for us?
Right, set the scene. It's the Let's work go. Christmas do. We're all working at Boots. And so is Harry. And Carl and Aaron and Andy and the old Secret Santa comes up. It's December the 1st, you're in panic stations, and you've just pulled out the card that says, joint present, Jay-Z and Beyonce, £20 limit.
£20?
Yeah.
20 quid.
Right. Get adventurous, guys, come on.
Like Beyonce.
So we're buying something for the Carters.
Both of them as well.
Both of them. What don't they have?
I was going to say, they have everything.
They've got
need,
everything.
So. You're going to have to go old school and you're going to make something, or do you have to spend 20 quid? You have to buy something, or can you make it?
Well, you know.
Secret Santa.
I think
it's just a limit, right? I think making Secret Santa stuff's a bit frowned upon. I don't
is
know.
It?
I think
it is.
You've got
I think
to splash
like,
out a little, don't you?
I think that's like.
If there's a limit, you need to hit
it. Yeah, they want to know. They want something for the value.
I think so, yeah.
I'm going to get my vinyl pop. Everyone gets a vinyl pop. It's the easiest buy. So what? Fuck you, Beyonce. Have a vinyl pop.
What's a vinyl pop?
One of them little pop figures, you know, them like big heads and that.
Which one would you get them?
Oh, that's what you're
saying. Harry Potter or something. Everyone likes Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
Do you think Jay-Z's ever seen Harry Potter?
Well, he's not. No one else is buying it.
That's
true. You know what I mean? You ain't got that.
I think you've hit an angle there. Yeah.
I love the idea that Jay-Z might be well into it. He's going to watch like Fantastic Beasts when it comes out. It's like day one, midnight showing.
Like a little scar tattoo.
little niffler or something.
He's been on the Hogwarts tour and that. I've seen him on Snapchat.
Can you imagine walking in? We're there and we decided.
So that's like 11 quid. So we've got a bit
of
change.
Got 9 quid.
We've got a bit of change there.
But you can't really get people more than one thing, can you, on a Christmas?
We're already in Boots, so we'll get a meal deal.
Yes.
Get a meal deal.
What meal deal would you get, Jay-Z? This is a well better game than I think.
Yeah. Yes, go in places. For the
this
snack,
is not your first podcast.
No.
For the snack, he's got to have the sushi. Yeah. You know, you get the little sushi snack.
No, sushi's a main.
No, but you get the snacks as well.
Yeah, but you won't get sushi as a snack. That's a main.
What, you're getting Jay-Z, the main. His main's going to be
sushi as a snack in the meal deal.
No, you can. I get it all the time.
I don't know.
You can.
Oh, look at you.
You get a sandwich and a sushi, and then your little orange juice on the side.
Wow.
£3.30 from Boots, and it is well good.
Right, so you're getting him sushi as a snack.
I think he'd enjoy the sushi.
It's got to be a little wrap on it. He's not a sandwich guy.
Right. What's that? Yeah,
it's not like the triple where you get the three.
No, he's not the triple.
He's not that guy.
No, he's not
that
guy.
He's not that kind of valuable guy, is he?
I'm talking a little wrap.
What
probably
wrap?
Falafel in it.
A little falafel in it.
Falafel wrap. Yeah.
With the sushi side, that's such a hack.
It's a healthy.
If that's,
yeah. I've never seen the sushi side. This
honestly, man, no, I get them on the regular. I'm a big.
Can anyone
a big
who works at Boots get in touch with us and just like justify this? You know? I wish this was live and they could ring in.
What's just there? It's like we are opposite booths.
Should we just go and pop over at Boots now and just have a look?
Right, Aaron, you're on the drink then. What drink are you getting in? Poor Beyonce's been kicked out.
Yeah. Well, we had £9 left in the week.
There's always two wraps in the wrap package. You can have one of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're getting
Beyonce like a separate.
They always look way bigger than they are. Yeah, you're for the fact that they're just
they're
like.
So shit. They're
like tiny.
We're going to get complaints.
I know. What's the question? Little Ribena with the drink as well.
What are you saying?
Getting Jay-Z a Ribena?
Yeah, Ribena.
Do you reckon, yeah?
That's always the best drink, innit? You know what I mean? Ooh. You don't want a Coke or something.
You can get innocent smoothies, you don't want though. They're about
£2.80
or
something. You get the big smoothies at about £3.80.
Yeah.
I think this is the most like energised we've been in this podcast, and it's about meal deals.
£7 worth of stuff for £3.
I'm getting hungry. I might want to go get meal deals, boys.
Can we do an Andy?
Right, what meal deal would you get for nuts? Secret Santa 4. Let's just hit the other guy in that situation and go for Kanye. What would you get for Kanye for?
Secret Santa, £20 limit.
Pop vinyl, straight away.
Of him.
The Kanye one. Shutter shades in that.
What were we watching that? Watching that Daft Punk video last night with they're stronger or whatever. Yeah. Well, I can't think of the name of the tune, but Ellie turned around and she was just like, do you reckon he's embarrassed? Them shades, that outfit, he's in that denim jacket, them shades.
That was so iconic at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Class. Yeah. I was like, nah, he's fucking minted, isn't he?
Yeah, fucking hell.
I don't think he's a guy to ever get embarrassed. He was dressed up as a water bottle on Saturday night. Why the fuck's sake, you know what I mean? What was that about?
I remember that being the coolest thing at the time, though.
Them shades. Everyone had
the thought of, like, we looked like such ravers, didn't we? Like,
yeah. So 2007, wasn't it?
You know it's a trend when, like, you walk through town and you see all the little market stalls selling them. That's, like, that's when you know you've made it.
I think of them classic hoodies with the, like, white zip. Do you know the one where, like, you had every colour of the hoodie, but the zip was always white and the string were always white?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone had one.
Top man hoodies, and you just, like, you tie the strings and not zip it up.
It's the shirt. The shirt with the hood. That was the thing. Like, the shirt was with the hood. Yeah.
I'm thinking of the guy from Inbetweeners, you know, with the three-button T-shirt as well. Well, that was a different coloured collar.
Proper bright neon colours, wasn't it? Yeah.
Right, who's one more Secret Santa? We've got. What did we get, Kanye?
Vinyl pop. So all everyone's getting. Whoever you fire up next,
no, come on, there must be somewhere.
Like one of them build your own synths, you know. Oh. You see in Waterstones and that, them little build your own synths.
That's good.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's a good present.
Look at me, present king.
I think you are.
Everyone's wanting on my Christmas list, aren't they?
Right, one last one. Action Bronson.
Ooh.
Go on, Andy, take the reins.
Something to do with cooking. Mm. Some kind of utensil.
Ooh.
Or maybe just a really nice wine.
Oh,
he's a wine connoisseur, isn't he?
He's a natural wines guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he likes expensive stuff.
It's like them, yeah. What are you thinking then?
Maybe just some blunt wraps.
Hey.
Make use of those, man.
That went from like a nice fine wine.
That is him though, isn't it? It's one or the other, isn't it?
It kind of sums up the guy, really, yeah. I don't know, what's anybody else saying? Vinyl popcorn.
I was still thinking of cooking when you were blown up, so I was like, what? What is that? It probably took me a second, like, oh, right, we're just going to... Yeah,
that famous utensil.
Yeah, I was like, I don't have that in my kitchen.
Just some, like, you know, secret techers that people don't know about.
Secret tech.
I have actually seen his book? The book is amazing, by the way. If you ever want a cookery book, The Footbats Delicious Cookery Book by
I didn't really either. Is that a book out?
Yeah,
oh, that's cool.
I didn't know
that. It's a cookery
book
that is well worth it. I haven't got it yet, but I've read it. I've read bits of it, and it's just like there'll be a recipe, and then just be him like sat there, like just like smoking again. I love that polar opposite of him of just like being really like just hard and like, you know, from the street, but then like really obsessed with like fine culture of like dining and.
Yeah.
Drinking and
mixed up the two worlds so well.
I went down a YouTube rabbit hole the other day on Action Bronson throwing people off stage. Yeah. And have you ever seen like, he's just got this thing, hasn't he? Where like, I don't know if it just started off like as a serious thing, but it became like a bit of a joke when people get too close to the stage. He'll pull them up on stage, like punch them around a bit, and then throw them. and then it, like, it's become a thing now. People are trying to get on stage, so they're the one who. But he's like, he's a big guy and he's so rough with them. It's so funny to watch.
He literally picks people up, doesn't he? He'll pick them up and roll them into the crowd, suplex them off stage.
No,
yes. Think like Fresh Prince of Bel Air, you know, when Uncle Phil's like chucking jazz on that kind of thing. Like, he launches them off.
It must be so annoying being the security for stuff like that. I remember when first went to Leeds, I went with John and I can't think what, I think it was AFK, proper emo band or whatever. Like, they were talking like, is it AFI?
AFK, away from keyboard.
Away from keyboard. AFI, that's it, yeah. They were playing, it's like 2007. And they were like, oh, everyone get on stage in this song. And man, the tent just went. And I was just, and we, me and John tried and we just got absolutely battered.
What are they going to do in that situation, the security guard?
Crazy. You just, but security guard just grabbed me, ripped me to the floor, boom, proper battered me, man. And rightfully so, little team trying to jump on stage. God, it must be so annoying. You hear the band just do that and you're just like, right, cheers, mate. Cheers.
I've got to have a fight now.
I've got to fight someone, yeah. I mean, do you want to do a little Christmassy beef talk collab?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Christmas edition, yeah.
Christmas edition.
Jesus.
Come on, yeah. Well, like, that was written. Well, that's, not it's far not far off. What I was going to say was Santa, Michael Bublé, and... who was it? It was another. I couldn't think of anyone festive this morning.
This is well cooked up as a better plan than this. Save it.
Jack Frost. There you go.
Beef Frost. Tour collab. And we've got Santa.
Who's touring with Jack Frost?
Well, you're collabing then, or you're beefing. Like,
Jack Frost has had a horror film, hasn't he? So.
Now we could do. Let's do. Jack Frost was a horror film. Yeah.
There's two versions.
The only Jack Frost I remember is from Mighty Boosh when he's in that like little black suit. Have you seen him? Everyone watched Mighty Boosh.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, little Johnny Frostbite roaming around, moving you up, moving you down. Everyone knows the song. You know it.
I hope the people listening do.
Yeah, I've got no idea what that is. Well. If my boys, the Luptons, were here, they'd know it. give me some festive people. Who's festive?
Mariah Carey.
Yep. Michael Bublé. Who's another festive one? George Michael. There you go. If he was about...
Die Hard. Die Hard. Bruce Willis.
Die Hard. So there you go. Who are you touring with? Who are you collabing with? Who are you beefing with? I'm beefing with Michael Bublé. Why not?
Straight in there, Carl.
I'm doing it. Why not?
What's your reasons?
Because no one is. Because no one wants to. Because he's too nice, too lovely.
Hey, he only appears at Christmas anyway, doesn't he?
He just comes out like
that. Where is he the other 11 months of the year? What's he up to?
That's the best meme.
But imagine the tour, though. It's so pleasant. You'd have like wild good teas, and you probably were probably doing gigs like in like nice towns, and
what do you reckon's on his rider?
You proper just
exactly. Michael Bublé's rider, he must have
Sunday dinner.
Christmas dinner.
Proper nice gravies and that.
Aaron's doing a bit of maintenance for work, it's just
we bought these mics for fucking £25 and after like 3 uses I'm realising why they're £25. They're just falling apart.
The screws are.
This mic's about to go, so we just need to flip it. Someone talk.
I like the recording of the screen instead.
Have some of that.
This is well staying in it.
It's
just changed into an episode of Changing Rooms,
hasn't it? I get the Changing Rooms theme on that now.
I have got an interesting fact about Mariah Carey, though, to be fair.
Well, go on.
Do you know who she's just on a tune with? Blood Orange.
Really?
Joking.
No.
What?
It's an absolute ballad.
See, is it a Christmas tune?
Yeah.
We all thought Mariah Carey would be a bad choice.
No, Mariah Carey's I think that's right. I think it is. Should I do my research? What was the first, do you remember the first podcast where we just kept looking for the album? It's still not out.
Right, the DIY's done. We're back in the game. It's a bit of a loosey-goosey podcast, this one, isn't it, boys?
Loosey-goosey.
A bit of a loosey
rough around the edges.
A bit rough.
Keep him in your chair every 30
seconds. I know, I'm just like, I like to move around today. Yeah, well, you all thought Mariah Carey would be a bad choice, and here we are, finding out that she ain't a bad choice for Blood Orange, is she?
No.
There we go.
Can we put a bit of that tune in, Alan?
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to intro?
No, I mean, you could.
You put it in now.
Who'd have thought that? Mariah Carey, Giving Me Life, featuring Slick Rick and Blood Orange.
Slick Rick's on it as well?
What?
One, two, three, play. What's up, my hush got fly? Here's a quest,
why you left? Was it my messed up eye? Why? Oh, that was a lot better than I thought, that tune, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Really, yeah. What did you think?
I couldn't believe it.
I thought the middle eight was just like, yeah,
The vocals really got it for me.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Andy, what did you think?
I thought Slick Rick's verse was a little bit controversial.
Yeah.
No need for that.
What line in particular did you think?
I'd love for us to have guessed it right then.
No, yes, Andy, just try and guess a phrase that Slick Rick used.
I was setting up a tent whilst we're
spits and bars. Bring me in.
Fire in the booth.
Me and you, Carl, let's go.
So what got you into art, Harry? That's like a very sort of
I'd say
open question.
Skateboarding is probably the main thing that got me interested in art.
Yeah.
Seeing my older friend at high school doing art in sixth form sort of made me realise that you could do this as like a career. It wasn't just like a hobby. There was like room to do more with it, like go to university and exhibit and do things like that.
Do you go to this friend for advice and stuff now?
We still speak, but he's sort of all over the country filming and he lectures and he's doing pretty well for himself.
Wow.
So we sort of check in now and then, but we don't speak every day.
No.
But yeah, he definitely influenced me mostly when I was growing up to get into art. And then I took it further, going to college and then university eventually.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, have you sort of found your style? Is that the, like, I'm not very good at sort of how to chart by or whatever. If anyone wants to jump in on sort of good questions, go ahead.
I reckon my question would be, where do you draw your main influences from, really?
That's what I was meaning.
I think with having enough practice now, it sort of comes quite naturally, but I would always use music, lyrics, I imagine, films, stuff that I hear from people. Yeah. It's all quite personally internalised, so a lot of it could seem quite random to people, but I understand the meaning behind it. And I feel like when I have to explain it, it sort of takes the magic away.
Yeah.
Because I like my work to be quite abstract, even though it might look formal, it's got text on it and stuff like that, but it's still, the meanings are quite abstract.
Has it took you a while to come up with it? You've got like a font sort of thing. Has that took a while to find? Because when I'm looking at something, I can tell it's your stuff by that.
Again, it's
that,
just
you know,
the practice, I guess, of just doing it over and over. But I've always been drawn to hand-drawn typography.
Right.
Because I feel like in this day and age, everything's really impersonalised. Everything's done on a text and there's no sort of like character to that.
Yeah.
So I feel like with your own handwriting, that's very much your own stamp. So I like to use that as much as possible because it can only come from me. Like, you can't get the same typeface on a computer. So even for the posters and stuff, I usually hand draw most of those.
Well,
I don't use a lot of typefaces or anything like that.
You've been currently collabing with Herbarium on doing a New Year's one as well, haven't you? Like the new poster.
Yeah. Well, I did some text for that, and Lucy's sort of designed it. She's used the floor plans from the Herb, which is quite cool.
Yeah, because they're planning on changing every room in the Herbarium to set out like a house party. So it looks, you were saying the other day, it looks a bit sort of Home Alone, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like the
totally.
Plans.
Yeah, I used to love that in the Home Alone film where he whips out he calls it the battle plan, and it's like where he's going to set all his traps up. I used to like draw that. From memory and stuff.
Just back to your art, Harry. Do you think that, like, is it like Basquiat and things like that that have really, like...
Basquiat. For everyone who doesn't know, Basquiat. It's a French name.
Do you feel like he set that way for you in a way, then, of that precedent of hand drawing and trusting the simplicity?
Definitely. Definitely. It definitely comes from seeing his work. He used a lot of writing in his work. And it was always done in sort of like a scrawled handwriting. So yeah, I've definitely been influenced by that guy.
And where is the world of art right now? Is it with Virgil drawing on trainers, or is it like...
It seems to be like fashion. It seems to be where the focus is. A lot of the big campaigns and stuff are using like artists to draw on clothes.
Yeah.
You've got people like ASAP Rocky. He's been a big sort of influencer of that sort of rough sort of style. I don't know the designers he uses. There's a group of people in ASAP Mob who do a lot of his artwork. Even some of the latest Kanye merch, that's very hand-drawn and stuff like that. There's a guy called Ass Pizza who's pretty big. He's just made a name for himself drawing the same logo on everything. There's a guy called Ryan Hawaii who's got stuff in Selfridges now. He does a lot of DIY drawing on clothes. So yeah, I think fashion's a big focus for art at the moment. But then there's a whole other world of like fine art and, yeah. and digital art. That's a big thing now as well. Projection and music videos, those sort of things.
Yeah, because we've used quite a lot of your drawings in the animations that you've collabed with Aaron.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Doing them and that's sort of we end up putting them on projectors and stuff like that. It's cool to see. It's like I like. Every time I see your work, I'm just like, oh, that's Harry, you know, mm-hmm. and it's really nice. And the exhibition especially, it was so nice to see so many different pieces.
Yeah.
But collaboratively, we're sort of so you as well, you know. Each piece was on its own different, but together worked so well as a yeah. set, you know.
I like to think when I do a piece of work, whether it's on a T-shirt or it's a canvas, it's got my stamp on it. And you kind of tell, like now, with the style sort of having developed, that it's my work. It's got a signature about it.
Do you schedule when you're going to work on a piece of art or anything like that? Do you
no, I probably do should though. I'd no, get more yeah. done. No, I work in the studio sometimes, or I'm just drawing in a sketchbook, or I'm on the computer, maybe doing a flyer or something. But no, I don't really have a solid practice yet. I'm still working on that.
Harry's been drawing in his sketchbook while we've been doing the podcast as well. So
I feel like as well as the collective, we've got like the spectrum. We have like the as artists we've got like opposite ends of the spectrum, because I feel like what Aaron brings is just like something that's just so clean and so kind of like that other end, which I think people that is so new, like fresh right now, isn't it? And I really love that. They're like
super flat.
Yeah. Minimal. Can you tell me about that? Like where did that draw from you then as an artist? Like
it's just a style that I was really drawn to, and then a style that I found I guess I was just good at, and then the more I did it, the more people like took to it and reacted to it, so the more I kind of went down that style. So
I really love the idea of that. This is so much more than that, and I think it's reflected through DJs, but also through our visuals. You know, you never know what to expect, and I think that moment we all got excited as visually is that moment where you two collaborated, where like those two worlds met. You know, and you were able to like digitalize like Harry's world in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Was that the first time you collabed at the hall? Was it? Was that
For the projections.
Yeah, for the projections.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we could use that as this as the thumbnail or something for this podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. That'd be nice to see.
And you're going to do more together in the future?
Yeah, we definitely should.
I was going to say I'd love to see my work moving a bit more, because there's a lot of going back to the question about what influences you. I think the rhythm of music and the beat and things like that have got a big influence on my work when I'm making it, because I'm listening to music. So the style in which I put the ink or paint on the page is influenced by the rhythms and beats. So to see the work moving potentially as an animation or as a short film, I think that would give it a lot more scope, and I think people would understand the influence more that way.
Do you play
the references and stuff like that.
Do you play music as you work then, and does that influence you?
Mostly listening to stuff, whether it's like in the studio on a cassette or headphones. Yeah, depending what mood I'm in. Sometimes I'm like got a lot of energy, sometimes I want to slow it down with classical or jazz, or yeah, so that reflects how the work gets made and what comes out.
Do you in your head almost know what something's going to look like in a possibly a different way to Harry, do you think?
I personally, yeah, start with an end in mind, and then work from like the sketch through to digitizing it, and then animate if it needs animating. So like, kind of a clear.
It's just a different genre, almost, isn't it?
Actually,
like,
yeah.
It's like
which
jazz
is why
to
it's
rock
super
and
fun, like, when we do collaborate, and Harry brings one style, and then I'm more computer based. I think we're more computer
definitely,
based.
Definitely, yeah.
So, yeah, it's fun.
Can we like just do a big more? Can this just be more part of the podcast as a personal request? Just like. You guys should just come in and like tell us what new stuff's out as much as music. Like
we talk an awful lot about music, but as we said before, like
I think the visual side is just
a
strong
side of what we do.
Yeah. With any label, with any like club night, you have to have a strong visual identity. Otherwise, you know, people aren't going to pay attention really.
I've got a quick question for Harry as well. Yep. Like a lot of your work, you kind of incorporate written words, phrases, that sort of thing. I think a lot of it is kind of your own writing, right?
Or internal stuff, samples, I guess. I call it sampling.
Okay, so I was going to ask, do you draw them from specific places, like song lyrics, or
again, it could just be like what's happening in the moment. You know, whatever I just heard might trigger something where I feel like the need to write it down. But I generally have a sketchbook full of notes, and even when I look back at them, I don't really understand where they came from, but I might reuse them. Yeah, something that means something. I guess it always yeah, there's always a meaning to it, but whether other people understand that, it doesn't really bother me.
That's cool. Yeah. I like that.
It's definitely like internalized stuff, thoughts, and yeah, maybe something you hear someone say. I like I said, it's kind of like sampling, but just a visual version.
Taking something out of context and putting it in an entirely new one.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'd love to see a little collab of your haikus. Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about it.
Yeah. All right, there we go.
It's on the way. It's on the way, yeah.
But I even see what the way you write them down is art to me. Like, it just looks so on the page, and then you intentionally leave a bit of the one before. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm into all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I've seen a few recently where you've wrote them on, say, like a letter. An application form or something, and that was just like,
It was like a redundancy notice from my work. Cool. Yeah, and it had like the HR manager and their signature and stuff, and it's like three lines. So it's one thing that I used to do quite a bit more when I first started doing the haikus and just kind of incorporating that visual thing. I remember one of them was like three N64 cartridges, which is like Super Mario 64, Diddy Kong Racing, but it made the 575.
Yes.
And a little bit of it, you kind of put that out there and think, are people going to work that out? Are people going to kind of get that that's the haiku? Or
is that just the same way as Harry not potentially, does it matter? Like,
does it matter? Exactly, yeah.
Does it matter?
Yeah, the thing is what it is and whether people get it or not, you know, it's kind of off the cuff. So yeah, that's one thing I'm trying to incorporate a little bit more, is kind of like writing them down on kind of more real world things, like letters, receipts, the backs of something, that kind of thing.
It makes it more visually interesting on the Instagram page as well, just how it looks as a feed. Yeah.
Like I say, we've been talking, man, and I want to kind of get the visual side of it built up a little bit more.
I think it'd be cool to use that as a projection, potentially, just these really abstract sort of like musings, I suppose. Yeah. Just on the wall, people are like, what the hell does that mean?
Words just rolling past.
Just read them out and have that as like an hour mix.
You do like a spoken word night or something.
There's a lot of scope for this, yeah.
Did we not have something on the back of a flyer once at the hall as well?
That was just the Trump, that was for the blonded one, maybe.
No, that was the animation, the one where the first collab on the back of a flyer, there was like a poem or something.
I think it was a few haikus, onto the back of one of the flyers. It had like it was listings of some of our upcoming nights.
And
it had, I think, Harry's drawing on it. Great. And then on the back of it was just like a few haikus.
Maybe we should do that on the residency one, do like a load of different haikus.
I think we could do more than just a single sided flyer. We could maybe make a little booklet. Yeah. And like you said, incorporate one or two of those haikus, a picture from you.
Zine.
The new jazz zine.
I find that unless people go home and put the flyers on the wall, they just generally get binned or left in the bags or coat pockets. Yeah. So if you have something that's like a little booklet, people are more likely to keep hold of it, I think.
It's just something a little bit more personalised. Yeah, exactly. Like when you did on the back of the blonde... Yeah. You know, the little drums of trumpets and stuff, that kind of thing. It makes it really valuable.
When I found out.
Cool. Right. Thank you.
All right, cheers, Harry.
Nice one, Harry.
Harry's just left us. We've just had to stop and start again, so here we are. And what do you want me to say? What's a better intro, Andy? Come on, you're nodding and shaking your head.
Where's the excitement, Carl? Come on, you're back in the New Jazz Podcast. Here we go.
I'm back, let's go. You wanted to talk about the new beef with Drake and Kanye again.
Yeah, well...
I don't know any of this, so fill us in.
The potential beef. Well, it all kicked off over Twitter, didn't it? Yeah. Ash, you had the really good, insightful comment. It's like, year nine, meet me outside school gates at half three or something.
Oh, yeah, well...
Did he say something like, if you threaten me, you're the first I'm going to come to if my family get hurt or anything.
That's what on Twitter, right?
Yeah, so like he started tweeting off straight away with, I can't even remember how it started. I think Drake.
Why is he on Twitter? Why is he not like, he's obviously got his number. Like, text him.
He loves that it's public, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, well, this is it. So he was waiting for, he putting out some tweets saying, like, Drake, call me now so we can set up this beef. And then he put up a tweet saying, you know, sorted, mission accomplished, that kind of thing. And then within an hour, he started tweeting again and just like going in. And then like Kim tweeted Drake saying,
Paved the way for you.
Without Kanye West, there wouldn't be a Drake and all that kind of stuff.
Which is true.
I think Drake's response to the entire thing, he just put up some crying, laughing emojis on Instagram.
Yeah. for once coming out of it, well, the cooler person. Yeah, finally.
That's well funny.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see where that one goes. I mean, Kanye's just making himself look a fool.
Not nearly as like, like good as like the old days of beef, is it? Do you know we used to watch those old DVDs? I used to sit with our kids watching beef DVDs.
It's not like Jay-Z versus Nas, is it?
No, like it's that's like that warrants like a full documentary.
Yeah.
Whereas imagine a documentary on this, like, and then Drake sent some emojis.
He was sat there with his slippers on.
Just screenshots of Twitter, like, Yeah, there's no excitement or buzz. I mean, I was really into the Pusha T and Drake.
I was gonna say, because that was music, like Pusha, like there was good songs out of it.
Diss tracks.
Yeah.
There was revelations. There was some really hard
projections.
Projections. Yeah. Yeah. Whereas I don't know. I mean, Kanye's always said. I think one of the tweets that he put out the other day was, you know, I'm not a fighter. I'm not somebody that's ever gonna make a diss track, which is true. He's never really dissed anybody.
No.
But at the same time, you know, he seems to be kind of wanting to generate all this attention around what seems to be like a non-issue.
Yeah, like, it's just drama, isn't it?
Yeah, and for me there's an element of like, these are two artists that are very much at the top of the game, two of the biggest artists in music, two of the biggest entertainers in the world. Is it not just a little bit fake, do you think?
Yeah. Is Kanye still not dropped this album as well? He hasn't, has he?
No, he hasn't yet, no.
No. No. So he's probably just building hype for that, isn't he? Like, I'm sure he's just like, oh, don't forget, got this
it's
album.
It's just not hype, though, is it?
It's just not hype, it's well embarrassing.
Yeah, you see it, you want to shake your head a little bit, and it's like, grow up.
I think that's why he sits so well with Trump, because he just gets that, doesn't he, like power thing where it's like, I can rant and...
Yeah, power today is just getting people's attention, right? Yeah. You just want to draw more attention to yourself. And
I think it's that like anti-marketing of like, it's all really unfiltered, isn't it? And like, you know what I mean? Like it...
Yeah, which in one sense...
Do you know, it's always like 30 tweets and it's always...
And in one
like,
sense, that's something to take advantage of, because, you know, when you know that Kanye's kind of popping off over Twitter, or, you know, you first hear about it, my instinct is I'm going to go and check it out, as you know, as much as you want to shake your head at it and it's a little bit, you know, dumb and stupid, and you know, you're a grown man and all that, but instinctively you do go and check it out and you think, okay, what's he going to say? Same with Trump as well. You know, Trump's tweeting, what's he been saying?
And it is I've just seen this film called The American Meme. Have you seen it? It's on Netflix at the moment. It's like Paris Hilton's like heading it up, because we kind of forget that she's paved the way for this kind of celebrity of like, you know, of just like the absolute star of like, you know, that thought process of like linking it with art and celebrity. But Khaled's in it as well. So DJ Khaled's in it. And you can see how he's used social media just as his absolute, like it's his best friend, you know, and he openly admits in it that as soon as a new platform comes out, he wants to know everything about it. So he's like one step ahead of it already. And he does that, you know, he's done that with his kid, with Assad, like, is it Assad?
Assad,
yeah. So his kid's got like, he's like the executive producer on his album. He's two. Right. And he sits in the studio, but he just looks amazing. And like, he's got 2.5 million followers, his son's account. And it's like, it is the absolute tool. But the flip side, which was really interesting, was someone was talking about, I think they were a model or something, and they were saying like now this would just never have happened in the role of a celebrity before this, because they never had this direct connection before, like, you know, like they had everything went through their agent, and as soon as they wanted to say something, it would have been a really sort of forced interview.
So
I just wonder what would have Biggie have been like with Twitter, or do you know what I mean? It's like, it's just, you know.
Yeah, that's another side of it. You know, you talk about rap beefs today, you know, they're not as good as they used to be, that kind of thing. But I'm sure at the time, at their age as well, like Jay-Z and Nas, they would have been going on Twitter.
Of course,
they would have been like Instagramming each other and, you know, generating the beef online. That's what people do.
What do you think, Aaron? Who would you most like to have seen with an Instagram account back in the day as our like resident old man music? I was the only one that like truly lives in the like the 90s, which is something to celebrate.
ODB's Twitter would have
been. Oh man.
Imagine ODB. If you put up like a live stream or something at one time. Good God.
You brought up Pusha T before, which reminded me, you saw him the other night at Warehouse Project.
Me and Ben, who can't be here today, but yeah, we went the Warehouse Project last weekend.
How was Slow Tie?
Slow Tie was amazing.
Was he?
He's so good. Where's he from? Is it Rotherham? Rochdale or something like that?
It's not far.
He's really local to kind of our ends, and it's really interesting because he's collaborating with like a lot of big people.
Yeah.
And just getting a really big reception. I saw on, I think it was like a blog or some kind of write-up of the night later on, that somebody saw Slow Tie with like his girlfriend on his shoulders during Pusha T set, like in the middle of the crowd. So that's one thing that I really love about Warehouse, is you get these artists, and because it's such a big you know, kind of playing field, and yeah. people are collaborating with each other, that you get artists that are really into each other's music. And it's yeah. like the idea that you could be playing a night and then, oh, Pusha T's on in half an hour, let's go and like check out his set and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. But yeah, Pusha T was amazing. Did like all of Daytona, a few tracks from Dark Fantasy, like Soul Paul's
Run Away. Oh, yeah, you said, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really kind of like greatest hits and just the whole good music kind of side of things. And
it's kind of crazy. Wow, it was a warehouse, isn't it, really?
Crazy, like, yeah.
And Black Josh was on, wasn't he?
I think he was on early yeah on. I didn't see him though.
What a move that, being on
the
sport.
What venue was it at? Was it the one we went to that time?
Store Street, right? Yeah, the one underneath Piccadilly Station. So yeah, it was ace. Yeah, so AJ Tracy as well.
Oh,
AJ
yeah. Tracy was big. Was the sound funny or something?
No, I don't
apparently
know.
I thought I read that the mic was like odd or something.
Oh, did AJ say
yeah.
that? I didn't notice it if it was.
What a lineup though. We need to go at more stuff so we can review these things.
Yeah.
And he's just, well, it's when he's in Manchester,
isn't it? Like,
yeah, well, the big one that I wanted to go to was tonight, the one in Brixton, the Brain Feeder night.
Oh, I know. So this like, should have been this is the dream New Jazz Christmas do, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the entire label. So it's like Flying Lotus, Thundercat,
Igloo Ghost,
Ross from Friends is playing, Lapalux, and then Jazz Peterson as a special guest. Like,
And it's a 3D, new 3D show from Flying Lotus.
3D show from Flying Lotus. You get like given 3D glasses to watch the show with.
That's where it's going now, isn't it? Like, oh, why are we not there?
Cool. I know. Imagine if we could do something like that, like a 3D new jazz installation.
Aaron.
Get to work.
Have you learned 3D animation yet?
Why not? That sounds
easy. VR experience.
VR headsets to put on the door.
That's what it is.
I really want to do a boiler room though. Let's do it one time, like with the turn around and just do it.
We thought we were going to have to do that last night because the phonal leads we had for the mix track just wouldn't reach, you know, to the right. So I was just like, we'll just have to do boiler room now. We'll just spin around. We'll stand in crowd.
Well, I'd love that idea. I can't imagine what it'd be like DJing with everything behind you, you know, like not knowing with a crowd, you know.
Yeah, just not seeing the reaction.
You've got to trust it, haven't
you? I've always wondered when they're playing Boiler Room, what are they looking at? What's in front of them? Is it
cameras?
just a camera and a wall?
Cameras,
they're just looking at a wall, yeah.
Probably a woman with a clipboard and like Fjallraven on.
Should we get Lucy in? I'm
a big fan of them pauses.
I like
me.
It.
Yeah, I like it. Just trying to think.
I love the thought process. Just came in New Year.
Because everyone goes quiet. I'm waiting for someone else to chat, and then everyone just looks at me like, "Go on, say something." I'm just like, "Oh no,
you're the host, man."
Yeah, well, it's all Lucy Goosey, isn't it? It's all Lucy.
Is she coming in?
Yeah, is she. Yeah, let's get Lucy in. We can talk about the residencies and New Year's, because New Year's should be pretty special. I can't believe that I was saying this to Andy, I can't believe that I only started doing New Jazz with you this year. Mm. Feels like it's been so long ago. Like, looking back at Black Sheep and all that was just in May? It feels like it was ages away.
Yeah, I was saying to you last night that this time last year, we'd only done two down at the Apothecary, and we hadn't really branched out from that at all. We didn't, not a DJ.
No.
Really?
It's not even there anymore.
Yeah,
we went past all the night, it's not even there. Apothecary's gone.
That's mad.
Blew it up with fire chains.
We were in Adults last night getting the halloumi wrap as we do. And we were just like, we heard you were shutting down. He's like, nah. We were just like, thank God. We always come here.
That is us, halloumi wraps.
Halloumi wraps, curly fries, cheese and gravy.
Oh, it was demolished.
Yes, lads.
Because
you came to a point, Carl, didn't you, where you were just like, I remember you were like, I don't want to do this night anymore. Do you feel like you've come over that now?
What, the whole? Like
As a DJ.
Yeah, well,
that was
like you were saying before, that just the pressure of sort of, just because I want to get the mix.
Yeah.
You know, I want, and I think it's part of me being a musician as well. And just putting the pressure on, like, sort of, just the experience of working in a band and thinking, oh, I should have a set list. I should have it sorted out and know what tune's going from where. And I like to do the thing of sort of matching keys and trying to get a vocal from one song over the other. And then when it just isn't working and the pressure's on, and I always think someone's going to hear it and know, know. But then you play last night and we did it completely just unrehearsed and it was proper good. Yeah, I'm over that now. And it's just the experience, isn't it? And it's not letting you lock down, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to come, we are building a name and to come and just fluff an hour set or something.
I see what you mean,
You know, I'd hate it.
Yeah. We're in this now, boys.
We're in it,
We've got a following.
But it never goes wrong.
No, it never does. No.
And even if it does go wrong, we just laugh about it, so it don't matter.
Yeah. Is that same for you, Aaron, and for you all? Because yours are always, Aaron's so good at DJing and he just seems to come out
like,
this is it for me, the headphones have been hung up.
I similar during the day, I don't like spending all day overthinking the set, which I always do.
Yeah.
And I don't like over preparing, which I always do. So like doing the impromptu sets is like why it's the most fun, because I just don't think about it all week.
Yeah.
And then just do it and like really enjoy it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I don't know if you can plan that.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know if you can plan that. Just like don't book me and then throw me on, and then I'll just easily do an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I overthink it, then it just
I know like, what you mean. Yeah.
It's not fun, because I do the same. I always try and like find the perfect mixes and plan it to a T. And then it's like it's the same as exactly the same as if I just.
It ends up becoming very much like a job, doesn't it? Because I find myself like, right, I'm going to sit now, and then 5 hours go by, I've gone 15 minutes into my set because I'm trying to find that perfect.
Well, I think that's exciting as well, though, isn't it? If you love it, working hard.
Some of my sets I've absolutely loved because I've put that work in, and it's just like, that's class. But then I also think, oh, well, I don't want to be that DJ who plays that same set every time, but you're a bit gutted when sort of you've done it on your first slot and not a lot of people have heard it. And sort of wasted. So
well, people forget that a DJ kind of has to come up with something new every time. I guess people don't, do they? Maybe we need to celebrate more. If that was good, do it again.
Yeah, do it again.
If you're a band, you know, you work on the set and you.
Yeah.
But that, I think it's good that you say that as well, because I think sometimes people think that maybe DJs do just sort of rock up, have this USB, and you know, all these famous videos of like Guetta just pretending to like turn knobs and things.
Oh,
and,
of course,
and it's like, it's actually really stressful, isn't it?
Yeah,
and it is an instrument. I think that's what you need to remember, isn't it? You are playing an instrument, and when you've got people in the palm of your hands and they're jumping around and that.
Exactly. Think,
like sometimes when that USB's come out, I've just wanted to die, you know?
Yeah,
like,
of course, just like of course.
The music's cut out. I'm just like, I'm so bad. But
you know, you have to think about it. You've got to keep that vibe going as well. You don't want to just drop a tune after one and just completely kill the night. And especially like if you're sort of say you are first on, you want to build it so the others can, and their set can go well. You don't want to come in at 140 BPM, absolutely, you know, drum and bass. But
and that's one of the harder sets is the earlier, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Of like,
because you're warming it up, you're trying to get people in the mood to get so later on, people are wanting, raring to go.
Yeah. Well, it's testament, because I think people, I feel like music people come, don't they? And because people have mentioned specific tunes, and I think that's like evident in you guys and putting the work in about tunes. And what you just like, what you should do, Aaron, is just get booked, but then don't plan it. Then just don't plan it.
Just have a USB full of tunes. Last night was quite fun because it was sort of the greatest hits of. Oh my god! Yeah, I didn't even say my hard drive with my entire library of music died yesterday.
No way!
Just completely dead. I said to Andy on the train. I texted him. I was like, "Don't freak out," but my hard drive with all my music has just died.
Out a little bit on the train.
trying to build this set, and I was is like 2 hours before we're supposed to be there for the sound check. So I'm trying to get all my tunes in. Luckily, I had stuff on another USB from the last two New Jazz events. So I said to Andy, I said, like, I've got 20 tunes. That'll be enough for my half of, because we were back to back. But it's never just easy, is it? So that's it. I've lost like 5,000 tunes or whatever. So I'm going to have to sort that out. But
that might be a sign.
Maybe it's a new slate. But so last night was like my greatest hits of, so it was all the like rehearsed mixes that I knew would work well. There's a few like instrumentals where I cut a vocal in, so it was really fun to play them and then have Andy mix out of that and then try and mix in from a tune that of Andy's that I didn't know into one of them songs.
That's why I love back to backs. You can plan a set as much as you want, but for me it's that kind of tension when you know you're playing with somebody and they're coming to the end of their tune. You've got to jump in with something completely different, take it to a new direction, and it's that tension and then that just release when you hit the sweet mix. Completely unplanned.
Yeah, it's really
so much fun.
But yeah, that was so funny.
And two minds as well, because you're two different people, isn't it? You know, like you were, I remember you were DJing with Darren's dad at Stag Do, and he was like, he was into like psychedelic something.
Yeah, and then real atmospheric stuff, and there's me bringing like the kick and the snare in over the top, and it was just like, yes. He was proper looking at me, this is amazing.
We have to do some more abstract, like back to back, don't we? Booking some old jazz guys.
Bring your dad to work day.
My dad's got soul.
Bring your dad to New Jazz.
My dad likes pan flute music. He is not coming.
Hey, you'll make it work. Let's just do it, man. Let's just bring that kick in.
He is not coming to New Jazz.
What are you doing here, Carl? Are you clubbing up your pan pipes?
Yeah, it was quite like it was fun as well last night because we were sort of watching each other's backs. There was a lot of time of sort of, I'd be like, he'd be on a filter or something, and I'd be quickly just tapping it in time or whatever, yeah. You know what I mean? Just pulling it back. So we're always, it was fun. Yeah. It was back fun to like just jump over the decks while he was doing a mix.
Oh,
I was
the
just
classic
like,
Andy and Ben Ross.
Yeah, it was.
Days.
Yeah, it was.
Crossing wires and all that, arms going over. Yeah, well, you know, it's just little adjustments and that. You just like turn your bass down a little bit or turn up if it needs it. Stuff that you think that because the other person is so deep in the mix and they're concentrating on, you know, the crossfader, the volume levels and all that. You're just like, oh, just
I'm sure the bass was turned off and you just in my ear, you were just like, I'm pretty sure you're going to want bass with that, mate. You're just like turning it up.
Well, you did it with two decks, didn't you, as well, which is like...
So then you don't have the sync feature, and you don't have the key match feature or anything. No. So like all the beat matching is just done by ear and stuff. So that was like...
Is that really stressful when you're doing it though?
It was. No, it's just like you say, more tension, more like thrill when it goes right. We
just
messed
makes
up
it
a
better,
few. Yeah, we messed up a few, but like
there's leniency to mess up when it's like that though, because people can look and see, like hopefully like work out that obviously you're not on the same thing and you're switching, aren't you?
Yeah, so we're just shouting out, we weren't booked. We're just this isn't planned.
You could get that as a t-shirt.
So funny. I am really enjoying doing the sets and seeing where it's going and. Excited for the next year of
residencies now we know we've got booked,
as well.
Yeah.
Like to have like a set. All right, we're going to be at Herb
every month
and we're going to twin it with these events, and hopefully this space here will be something exciting every time we're doing something.
Yeah,
it's going to be great.
Let's talk to the owner. Maybe we could even chat about what they've been like for maybe.
Yeah,
because
I wonder
a like different perspective on it.
Yeah, because one of my sets just dropping well inappropriate stuff at 8 o'clock. One of my one of my first sets here. I'm sure I didn't. You know what I mean? Finding my feet.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so thanks for tuning in to episode 4 of the New Jazz.
Thank you, Andy, for being here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carl, for also being here.
Thank you, Aaron.
Oh my God,
something's happened to Ash. Thank you, Ash.
Thanks to Harry Mills, our artistic guest this time. Thanks to Ash for opening that door.
Ash has just gone.
Nice one. We're going to close it out here. Hopefully see you all at New Year's down at the Herbarium, and then 2019, we're going to start off with the residency. It's going to be strong. So
it's going to be in February, the first one at Herbarium.
Hopefully see you all down there. We're going to close out now, but this has been episode 4 of the New Jazz Podcast. See you in 2019.